Psalm chapter 25. We're going to be looking at David's fivefold plea for pardon. This is a tremendous psalm written by David in the latter years of his life. You'll notice in verse 7 he referred to the sins of his youth. And we had looked last week at that concept. And of course we had seen that the most probable context of time was Absalom's rebellion for the occasion of the writing of this psalm. In a time of confusion in David's life, the Holy Spirit almost creates an order out of how it was put together. Could it be, and this is conjecture, you know, the word conjecture is another term for guess, but it just sounds better. Doctors like to say, well, I'll tell you what, you're facing surgery tomorrow, and I will be operating. My conjecture is, better watch it. His guess is, well, actually, I look at this psalm, and all of you are now aware of the fact that all 22 verses are in the corresponding order, beginning each verse with the first Hebrew letter of the alphabet. And could it be, would it be too fanciful to say that the Lord might be kind of telling us in an indirect way, in the midst of David's confusion and conflicting of feelings, the Lord is in charge of everything. And He's a God of order. And a lot of the times, most of the most conflicting periods of what we think in our lives don't make sense, the Lord is still in control. We are His workmanship. The word workmanship is the Greek word poema, where we get the word poem from. He's making a poem out of our life. What you think is a radical departure of sanity, and what you think is anything but Romans 8:28, as you can read it now. Someday when we look back, our lives are going to be all in symmetry, all in order, just like the letters of this Hebrew alphabet are all here laid out in perfect symmetry under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We were looking at a fivefold plea for pardon. And we saw in verses 1 through 5, David's first plea to the Lord is, Lord, I need your protection. You know, every one of us is totally dependent upon the protection of the Lord. We know that if the devil had his way with us, he would just sift us as wheat, just like Jesus told Peter in Luke chapter 22. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But the Lord's answer to that was, but I have prayed for you, that your strength fail not. And when you are recovered, literally, strengthen the brethren. And everything has a purpose in our lives. David here is praying for the Lord's protection against the enemies that he is facing. And you know, it would be nice to think that the enemies that we face are always unsaved. Wouldn't that be nice to say, all of the enemies that we always face are the unsaved? It's not always that way, is it? Sometimes those that appear to do the most damage to the work of the Lord are those that claim to rally under the banner of the cross. And Paul experienced individuals like that. Paul in Philippians chapter 1 said that some preach Christ out of contention. Some preach Christ out of affliction and a desire to actually attack me and supplant me. And yet Paul said to the church at Philippi in chapter 1, even though all of these motives are wrong and actually they're attacking me like enemies, as long as Christ is being preached, at least I can rejoice in that. And he set aside his own personal pride and desire for a good reputation and said, well, God's reputation is the most important. But there are enemies And sometimes they are from among those that name the name of Christ. Self-appointed Christian snipers who just love to attack and cannibalize the brethren and will make it their agenda to tear down others so that they themselves will receive some type of worship or esteem. But here, David prays for protection. And he prays, Lord, may the enemies of God be ashamed. But Lord, may your people never be ashamed, for we are depending upon you. I like verse 2. Oh my God, I trust in thee. You know, sometimes the Lord is the only one that we have to trust on. Consider the person who is sitting on a gurney at a doctor's office, all by themselves, awaiting a possible diagnosis of some type of a serious malignancy, not knowing, sitting there with a sheet wrapped around them, and it's you and the Lord and the doctor. And you say, Lord, this is all yours. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing my wife can do. There's nothing my husband can do. There's nothing that my attorney can do. There's nothing that my broker can do. Lord, my life is in your hands. I am leaning on you. Sometimes young people feel that way when they're about to take a test in school. I always used to disdain when my professor at college would say, Lord, bless them in accordance with their study. Then you get the proper perspective there. Yes, you need to prepare. But there are times when all we have, we can only lean on the Lord. And there's David. He wanted the Lord to be his protection. And he depended on the Lord and trusted in the Lord. I like Psalm 27 across the page and verse 11 when David said, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. He was trusting in the Lord, and he said in verse 2, let not my enemies triumph over me. Now, that was last week that we saw and dwelt on verses 1 through 5, the Lord's protection. David prayed for the Lord's protection. But now, he prays in verses 6 through 10 for the Lord's patience. How many here need the patience of the Lord? We talked last week about the need for being patient with one another, just like God has been patient with us. He uses the word remember here, doesn't he? Quite often. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies, thy loving kindnesses, for they have been of old. Lord, I want you to remember your tender mercies and loving kindness. But then he says, Lord, there are some things I don't want you to remember. Now, when he says, remember not the sins of my youth, he's asking for the Lord's forgiveness. He is trusting in God's mercy and loving kindness. Not that God would forget, but you know, when we confess our sins, he no longer holds them against us. He no longer brings them up against us. And by the way, that's what true forgiveness is. How many times do you hear individuals say, I forgive you? But then in the next argument, instead of getting hysterical, people get historical. Sometimes hysterical too. And both. And they bring it up. And that's the nature of man. But the Lord says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, does that mean God has a cerebral lobotomy? Not to be blasphemous, but No, of course not. What it means is that he will not hold them against us. They are put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that certainly is a lesson for us. Lord, be patient with me. Now, here's where we are this week. Verses 11 through 13, he prays, Lord, I not only need your protection and patience, but I need your pardon as well. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. You know, too often we have a tendency to rationalize away our sin. Well, it's not that bad. You know the way it is. The druggie looks at the prostitute, and the prostitute looks at the wino, and the wino looks at the thief, and everyone looks at everyone else to try to find someone else who's worse off. And sometimes even Christians try to look around to someone else that isn't walking and progressing as they are. But you know, a real demonstration of our real understanding is this. Lord, my iniquities are great. My iniquities are great. And when we put ourselves beside the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we really see how far short we fall. And may we never grow complacent. One of the signs of thinking that you've arrived, and one of the signs is that you're not in the Word of God the way you should be, and then you begin to minimize the greatness of how we fall short of what we ought to be. We truly ought to be. You know, I can take an American flag that I've had flying in my yard since September the 11th, 2001. And I was flying that flag proudly ever since day one of that horrible, horrible day that struck our nation. And the flag looked so bright and colorful. But then, about 9 months later, I took another flag out to replace it, and I compared it, and I said, how could I have even left this flag out here this long? Look how the colors have faded in the sun, and I didn't even realize it. Why? Because every day I saw it. It stood all by itself. The sun was bleaching it, the hot Florida sun, for 9 months. And the fabric was holding up and all of that. But when I put it beside what it should have been, my, that's when I noticed the difference. And it was a literal embarrassment to me. And I put that flag in, and boy, we really have to be careful. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. We don't get into the Word of God the way we should, and we just kind of go off in our own orbit, or else we find friends that have compatibility of rebellion and the same problems that we have, and, oh, they're Christians, but they're not any closer to the Lord than we are, and we're not in the Word. We're not placing ourselves beside the template of our hearts, you see. And David said, Lord, my iniquities are great. Let's pray tonight that God will challenge our hearts to really realize what grace is all about. Lord, I'm not here to try to justify myself. Get alone with God and say, Lord, search my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Reveal to me where there has been an atrophy, where there's been a fading in my life. Because, Lord, people need to see my colors flying brightly for you, because I represent you. And, you know, maybe there's been some erosion gradually in your life, and you've noticed it in your language. You've noticed it perhaps in attendance. You're listening to my voice tonight, and maybe your church attendance is very sporadic, and God is speaking to your heart about needing to come back. And I'm, you know, I see now. And oftentimes God will bring people into your life that will let you know that there's been an atrophy. And you know what happens? You get angry and you lash back. And you know, they're holding up a mirror, and you need to listen. And God's Word is a mirror. All we need, the Lord's pardon. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Verse 12. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. You know, if you fear the Lord and you seek to draw close to Him and seek to live a life by His power that's pleasing unto you, God will bless your seed, and your seed will be blessed. And may we seek to follow the things of the Lord. Let's go on now. Here, this is an interesting request now, an interesting plea, because David now, in verses 14 through 16, prays for the Lord's partnership. Lord, I need your partnership. I need your intimate communion. I want to meet with you as a partner. I want to gather with you. Notice in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know, David says, Lord, I want to be an intimate with you. Just like Peter, James, and John were those who were able to go to the Mount of Transfiguration and experience things and see things that the disciples in general did not see. God has, no, he doesn't have his favorites, but he has his intimates, those who will rise early and hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who will seek to examine the truths of God's Word. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. God's Word says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When is the last time you've gotten alone with God and prayed, Lord, I want to be a partner with you. I want to be one of your intimates. I want you, Lord, to reveal to me, not for pride purposes of, oh, I want to be able to tell my Sunday school kids truths that they've never heard before so that they can come back and say, wow, boy, that's new. Oh, I've never heard that before. And, you know, feed your ego. No. Lord, I want to discover new truth so that I might establish a deeper, loving relationship with you. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Brother Dick, if you'll take care of the air there, it's getting a little warm for some here. Then I want you to notice Psalm 119, verse 33. Let's have our eyes go down just a little bit to verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. You know, we have some young people here that are taking Bible classes in Christian school, homeschooling. And, you know, if you're not careful, those classes can become so academic that the Bible can become a book. That's a danger. It becomes a textbook. Oh, I have to memorize this verse for a requirement for Bible class. May the Lord deliver us from that. That's another weapon that we're putting in our arsenal, in our holster, so that we can draw it on the devil when he comes to attack us, and it's spiritual truth that enables us to know the Lord that much better. You see, it's all the attitude. And David prayed, Lord, with all of these problems I'm facing, I want you to know I'm prone to wander, and I'm prone to take my eyes off of you, but Lord, I want to keep my eyes fixed, and I want to be in partnership with you, and I want to be so close to you that when you step, I'm right in your steps as well. Just like a little boy that is trying to walk as closely to his daddy to follow in his steps in the deep snow. And that's what David wanted to do. And he continues here in partnership. He says here in verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant, God's word. Notice, mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. You know, the word net, you look it up in the occurrences in the book of Psalms, and you'll see that it's always speaking figuratively of danger. There's danger that we know about that is facing us, and then there's danger that we don't even know about. that is, you know, has us in the crosshairs. The devil has every one of us in his crosshairs, on his scope. And he wants to be able to just find the right second to pull the trigger. And here, David says, Lord, you know, I need your help to pluck my feet out of the net. Look at Psalm chapter 9 and verse 15, just to show you how net is used. Chapter 9, verse 15. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they have made, just like old Haman. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. Yeah, there's a net that the devil has laid out for you. And listen to me, he knows what your weak spot is. And do you know that every one of us here, there may be similar weaknesses that we may have, but we're all unique, and the devil knows where and how to approach us, because he's been observing you for quite some time, in case you're wondering. And not only has he had the benefit of observing you, some longer than others, but he's had the benefit of observing the human race for thousands of years. I am a creationist. But he's observing the human race for literally thousands of years. And he knows how man will act, how believers in God will act under different circumstances. And he will try to push those buttons on you this week. Oh, how we need to put on the whole armor of God, because the net is there. And I'll tell you what, without the Lord plucking my feet out, I need to be so close to him so that he can just lift me right up and take my feet right out of the net. I don't want to be over there. I want to be close to my Lord. Turn thee unto me, have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Some of you have felt that way this week. Now, let's conclude verses 17 through 22. We've seen David pray for God's protection, for his patience, and you need that too, his pardon, his partnership, intimate partnership and communion through the Word of God. But now he says, Lord, I need your power. I need your power against my enemies. I need your power. Notice in verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. They're getting bigger and bigger. They're too big for me. I don't have the strength to be able to meet tomorrow's problems. Do you feel that way? Like things are just overwhelming? And you know, you can't draw your strength from your marriage partner sometimes either on that, you know. As much as sometimes it just, Lord, you're the only one that can help me through. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. And we have a powerful God. Look upon my affliction and my pain. Forgive all of my sins. You know, before we go to prayer, there needs to be that time of silent confession that we might be cleansed from our sins. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Consider my enemies, for they are many everywhere. Sometimes in several camps. And they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul. Aren't you glad that he's able to keep our soul and deliver us. Let me not be ashamed, disappointed, for I put my trust in thee. I'm leaning on you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. You know, sometimes we want the blessing of the Lord, but where is the integrity? Are we men and women of integrity? Are we seeking to honor our word? Are we seeking to be men and women that stand for the truth? Walking uprightly as God would have us to. And walking upright doesn't mean being on 2 feet walking. It means walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. You know, the Word of God tells us Job was a man who walked uprightly and shunned evil, feared God. He was still tested, but God gave him great victory. in the midst of his trial. Then it says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. His desire just wasn't for David. His desire was for his kingdom. And in your prayers, we don't want to just pray for our needs, but let's pray for the needs all around us of those that are part of Central Florida Bible Church. Let's pray for other believers that our family members and in concentric circles, let's pray outward. And don't forget to include those who do not know Christ as Savior, who need to be saved. And pray for missionary activities. Pray in a wide scope. Lord, out of all Israel, redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. May God bless the reading of his word in Psalm 25. And let's remember that God is a God who's able to make order out of what you consider to be the disorder of your life. Let us bow our heads in prayer. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, speaking to all of those who are facing trials and testings, challenges to your heart, your walk with God. How many here would say, Pastor John, I'm in that spot where I realize that in me lieth no good thing, but I have my Savior. Christ is all I need. He's all I have in the bottom line of it all, and I want to commit myself to an intimate walk with Him, to search Him, to seek Him in the Scriptures, to know Him ever more intimately. And Lord, if it takes the trials that I'm going through right now to do that, Lord, I welcome them as I draw close to you for your watch care. Let me see your hand. Is that your request? That's a sober, sober thought. There's nothing worse than suffering in vain. Without the Lord using it as a tool to bring us close to the shadow of the Almighty, lest we be like the children of Israel, wandering in circles, aimlessly, because they refused to obey God. Father, Lord, you know our needs. You know the needs of each one listening to these words tonight. Some need to receive Christ as personal Savior. The calamities that have been brought in lives, Lord, first and foremost, we need to examine whether we are ready to meet you, whether we know you as personal Savior. Father, if that's the need, may those call upon the name of the Lord, repent of their sins, realize the condemnation that those sins bring, then looking to Jesus Christ, who bore those sins at Calvary, yield themselves and receive Christ as personal Savior. Yield themselves, Father, to a life of lordship and desire to follow Jesus Christ as personal Savior. We pray, Lord, for believers that may be facing trials and testings at this time, that you would encourage and undergird them, as there have been many hands raised with special needs. May, Lord, even this trial that they are facing draw them close, ever more close to you in that intimate walk through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.